It's all gone quiet.
Morning, everybody. So welcome to our service of Holy Communion. Good to see you all back. Let's pray for you before you go across. We pray for our Tiger Club today. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the safe return of Tiger Club and for all that they're going to do today. Lord, please be with them. Keep them safe as they cross the road. And for not only the children, but also for all the helpers, that you will inspire them. And Heavenly Father, give us expectant and hopeful hearts that we will hear something really special from them when they come back. Because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. No pressure. Hopefully you all have one of these. We're still using these. So we meet this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. If you'd like to stand, we'll sing our first hymn, which is hymn 234, Immortal, Invisible. Do sit down. We say together the Collect for Purity. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. So today is the first Sunday after Epiphany, which means that we are still in the church's season that it calls Christmas. So that gives us an opportunity to relight our Christmas candle. Lord Jesus, Master of both light and darkness, send your Holy Spirit upon us at this Christmas season. We who are so busy and seek quiet spaces to hear your voice each day. We who are anxious over many things look forward to your coming among us. We who are blessed in so many ways long for the complete joy of your kingdom. We whose hearts are heavy seek the joy of your presence. We are your people, walking in darkness, yet seeking the light. To you we say, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Christ, the light of the world, has come to dispel the darkness of our hearts. Let us turn to the light and confess our sins. God, our Father, you sent your Son full of grace and truth. Forgive our failure to receive him. Lord, have mercy. Jesus, our Saviour, you were born in poverty and laid in a manger. Forgive our greed and rejection of your ways. Lord, have mercy. Spirit of love, your servant Mary responded joyfully to your call. Forgive the hardness of our hearts. Lord, have mercy. And so may the God who loves the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour forgive you your sins and make you holy to serve him in the world, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Collect Prayer for the first Sunday after the Epiphany. Eternal Father, who at the baptism of Jesus revealed him to be your Son, anointing him with the Holy Spirit, grant to us, who are born again by water and the Spirit, that we may be faithful to our calling as your adopted children. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. If you'd like to sit, we'll hear our readings from Scripture.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 43, beginning to read at verse 1. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honoured in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is Acts chapter 8, beginning to read at verse 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. If you'd like to stand, we'll sing our second hymn, which is hymn number 557, Thou Whose Almighty Work. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. This is the third chapter of Luke's Gospel. We begin at verse 15. As the people were filled with expectation, And all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah. John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Pray that I may speak only in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do sit down. So as I said, today is the first Sunday after Epiphany. It's the Sunday we recognise as the Feast of the Baptism of Christ. So in our Gospel reading this morning, Luke doesn't mention at all anywhere near any details about where the baptism of Christ took place. But both the Gospels of Matthew and Mark are sure that it was in the River Jordan. So take a moment to imagine that you're standing at the edge of that river where Jesus was baptized. How many of us would be afraid to leap in? So Luke's description, it's a brief description, but it's still a really incredible episode. God spoke and the Holy Spirit appeared. But that was then, though. How can we now bridge the gap between that ancient voice and what feels like a modern silence? Heaven opened. A dove descended. God spoke. Really? We want to believe this. We really do. But to accept the supernatural in Scripture is to plunge into a sea of hard questions. If God spoke audibly in the past, why doesn't he do so now? And if he does, why then haven't we heard him? So is God angry at us? Has God retreated? Has he changed? Has he left? Or are the ancient stories of the Epiphany simply figurative? Was the dove, in fact, just a dove? And the voice from heaven, no more than a nicely timed windstorm? And when we speak of epiphanies, are we really just wallowing in metaphor? So I was talking last week about the difficulties that can arise when we experience God as absent. Or at least, if not absent, then silent. When did you last hear someone say, I had a spiritual experience. I felt God. He spoke to me. The trouble is that it feels that it's almost become embarrassing to believe in miracles. Well, to put your mind at rest, let me tell you that this isn't just a modern problem. The early church had this same issue with embarrassment as well. For those very earliest Christians, the story of Jesus' baptism was an acute embarrassment, but for reasons very different to our modern ones. What scandalized the gospel writers back then wasn't the miraculous, It was the ordinary. Doves and voices, well, that was fine, that was all well and good, no problem at all. But the Messiah, the Son of God, creator of everything that is, seen and unseen, as we say, placing himself under the authority and teaching of a rabble-rouser like John. God's incarnate Son, receiving a baptism of repentance, perfect, untouchable Jesus. How could he need repentance? What was he doing in that murky water, aligning himself with the great unwashed? I suppose every age has its signature difficulties with faith. And when we're not busy flattening miracle into mirage, we're busy instead turning sacrament into scandal. After all, what is it that's most incredulous about this story? Is it that the Holy Spirit became a bird? That Jesus threw his reputation aside to get dunked alongside sinners? Or that God looked down at the very start Jesus had accomplished anything worth praising? Let's perhaps ask the question differently. What do we find most impossible to believe for our own lives? That God appears by means so familiar we often miss him? That our own baptisms bind us to all of humanity, not in theory, but actually in the flesh, such that you and I are brother and sister, responsible for each other in ways that we fail too often to honour? Or that we are God's beloved, not because we've done anything to earn it, but because our Father has spoken? And here's our real problem with Epiphany. We always, always have a choice. And most of the time, we simply don't want it. No matter how many times God shows up, we're free to ignore him. No matter how often he calls us beloved, we can choose self-loathing instead. No matter how many times we think about our baptism, we're capable of dredging out of the water the very sludge we first threw in. And no matter how often we reaffirm our vow to seek and to serve Christ, we're at liberty to reject him and walk away. And there are times, I think, when we, the clergy, are no help at all. Clergy can speak so glibly of faith, revelation, and baptism, as if it's all easy, as if what matters most is whether we sprinkle water on a baby or whether we immerse, whether we dunk babies or only adults, as if lives aren't actually on the line. Well, until Christianity became a state-sanctioned religion in the 4th century AD, no convert received the sacrament of baptism lightly. They would have known the stakes only too well. Back then, to align oneself publicly with a despised and illegal religion was to court persecution, torture, and possibly even death. It was a properly big deal. So much more than the rite of passage it can sometimes feel like today. I don't know about you, but I find so much of this really maddening. How much nicer it would be if the font were self-evidently holy. But no, the font contains just simple tap water. The thin place can be countryside, a wood, a hilltop view. The voice that might be God might also be wind, thunder, indigestion, delusion. Is the baby divine? Or have we misread the star? Are we about to eat and drink symbolically the very life and body of God's Son? Or is it a mere wafer? Nothing more than a sip of wine. So what I'm really trying to say is that there is no magic. We actually practice epiphany. It's something we do. The challenge is always before us. Look again. Look harder. See with fresh eyes. Stand in the place that might possibly be thin, and regardless of how jaded you feel, cling to the possibility of a surprise. Epiphany is deep water. You can't just dip your toes in. You must take a deep breath and plunge. Yes, baptism promises new life, but it always kills before it resurrects. So what reason is there for hope then? What should we hang on to in this uncertain season of light and shadow? It's not a particularly easy time, is it? The anti-climax after Christmas. January feels long and dark and cold. The lull before Lent. But could it just be that it's us and not God who is the problem? Just because we can't see him, just because we can't hear him, doesn't mean he isn't there. Maybe we've stopped looking. Maybe we've stopped listening. Or on the other hand, maybe we're praying so hard, God just can't get a word in edgeways. So I believe that Jesus is our thin place. He's the one who opens the barrier and shows us the God we long for. He's the one who stands in line with us at the water's edge, willing to immerse himself in shame, scandal, repentance and pain, all so that we might hear the only voice that can tell us not just who we are, but whose we are. Listen to that voice that says, "We are God's own. We are God's children. We are God's pleasure. Even in the deepest water, God says that we are beloved." So as we heard in our Old Testament reading, Isaiah said, "We are created by God for his glory, and that's why he chooses to redeem us. He knows us by name. He promises to be always with us. He calls us precious and honored, not because we're worthy, but because, inexplicably, God loves us so much." What more encouragement could we possibly need? Amen. Would you please stand? So together, we affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, as we say together, "We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please sit or kneel for our intercessions.
Heavenly Father, in the silence and peace of our church, we thank you for hearing our prayers. A prayer of thanks for the baptism of Jesus and the coming of the Holy Spirit. Throughout the world today, we see terrible fires, floods, wars, famines, poverty and oppression. We pray for all those who are suffering. We pray for those in power, that they will align the world with the holy teachings of your Son Jesus, who was baptized with the Holy Spirit for the benefit of all mankind in times of difficulty. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A prayer for children and the expansion of Christian activities. We thank you for bringing us safely to this new year. We pray for guidance in the way of helping our church to grow and the raising of children in the ways of Jesus. We pray that there will be exciting times ahead and expansion for us all at St. Margaret's. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A prayer for our world. We pray that global division and deprivation are not provoked into hatred and confrontation by new leaders. That their countries, communities and cultures will come together in peaceful respect and harmony. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A prayer for others known to us. We pray for those in our church and in our community who are unwell or convalescing. We pray for those who are suffering from physical and mental illness, loneliness, or bereavement. Help us to reassure others that your Holy Spirit is always with them. Make us compassionate with kind responses to their difficulties. We pray for Peter Nelson, Clive Githrow for his forthcoming knee operation, Gail Wellings for her complete recovery. And in a moment of silent prayer, we pray for others known to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Finally, a prayer of thanks and praise. We thank and praise you for the many blessings we enjoy here in your beautiful creation. Inspire us to share our Christian love with others in our church and in our community of Penn and Tyler's Green, and especially to warmly invite and encourage others to join us at our services so that they too can know Jesus. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please stand. As we move into the liturgy of the sacrament, it's time now for our peace. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called the Prince of Peace. And so may that peace be always with you.
And also with you.
Share with one another a sign of that peace. As we're standing, we'll sing again. We'll sing our third hymn, which is hymn number 150, Hail to the Lord's Anointed. Our poverty by your Spirit. May we share in your riches. Amen. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Sit on you for our prayer. All glory and honour be yours, always and everywhere. Mighty Creator, ever-living God, we give you thanks and praise for your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who for love of our fallen race humbled himself and was born of the Virgin Mary. By the power of your Spirit, he lived as one of us. In this mystery of the Word made flesh, you have caused his light to shine in our hearts, to give knowledge of your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. In him we see our God made visible and are so caught up in the love of the God we cannot see. Therefore, with all the angels of heaven, we lift our voices to proclaim the glory of your name and sing out our joyful hymn of praise, saying together, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption. As we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we, in the company of all the saints, may praise and glorify you forever. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. We say together the prayer which Jesus himself taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Lord of all time and eternity, you opened the heavens and revealed yourself as Father in the baptism of Jesus, your beloved Son. By the power of your Spirit, complete the heavenly work of our rebirth through the waters of your new creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We say together the prayer after communion. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free. And the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Time to hear what you've all been up to. You were obviously enjoying yourselves. And desperate not to come back, but now you're here.
Okay, so We learnt how there are sometimes fake teachers and that Jesus is the one and only.
So you made like little hand things. You put your hand.
Yeah.
It's wrong and only. And can you please slap me?
And why?
If we stand, we'll sing our final hymn, which declares that Jesus is the one and only. We stand to sing. Go to our homes with this blessing. So as we go from here, may God go with us in the days ahead, keeping us close, keeping us connected, keeping us a community of faith, deepening our trust, encouraging our hope, amplifying our love. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and those for whom you pray. This day and always. Amen. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.
In the name